The Will of God, the 2020 edition, if you will. We just taught this in 2015. It was a bit different. I'd like to believe that everyone is like me in a sense of when you hear it again and again and again, that there are nuances and there are concepts, even if you heard the concepts back in 2015, that there are nuances and concepts of the same concept that you have a deeper understanding of. You're seeing a fuller picture, and I know I am, like never before. As we were thinking about Lord, You Reign, I almost came unglued because I understand we've been talking about sovereignty, so much in such concentrated doses last month, that to hear that, man, He does reign. And you know, the devil would have you believe that because the world is so crazy, that God is not in control. That is a literal impossibility for Him not to be in control. To think that is just not to understand who He is and how this whole thing came together. The earth is not self-created. It didn't come into existence on its own. Amen. You have to realize, as I keep standing back here, that in eternity past, there was nothing. And when there was nothing, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are the only three beings who are in that category of God or divine or eternal. God, I know we went over this a few times, but I want to show you something again. It doesn't hurt. Believe in much repetition. Thank you. We have a reputation for a repetition. And so we believe in much repetition. And so, Miss Darlene, we're going to try to do this a little bit better. You're welcome. Okay, so let's go to draw. And now, if you look at Father, T-H-E-R, and then Son, and then Holy Spirit, what we put above them or in front of them is this word God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What I need you to understand is that every time we hear God in the Bible, we're automatically thinking of God the Father. There are times where God refers to God the Father, but then there are times where the word God refers to God as being. And I'm going to break that down to you. Okay, being. B-E-I-N-G. Or nature. And character, I'll shorten that. Or character. Okay. Now, let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And let's begin at the first verse. The Gospel of John, not the epistle, not the letter in the back, the Gospel. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. This is the classic understanding of separating when they're talking about God as God the Father, or God as being, as in character and in nature, or in another word would be essence. Okay. And the Bible is working, I think. Okay, John chapter 1. So be J-N-1. Okay. Thank you, Lord. In the beginning was the Word. Now, who is the Word talking about? Right. Okay? And it was a word. And the word was with God. Right. So since the word, which is talking about a being, a person, was with God, then in this case, the word God refers to Father. Can you see that? Yeah. All right, let's keep reading. And then it says, and the word was God. You see that? That means he was God in nature. God as in being, in character, in essence. So the word was, Jesus was with God the Father, and Jesus is God in being, nature, character, and essence. I'll help you. What other beings exist? There's angelic beings, and there's, human beings. Who are we in character, essence, being, and nature? We're human beings. God is not a human being. Jesus is not an angelic being. Why isn't he angelic or human? The voice from the wilderness. Way to go, Judy. She said, because he wasn't made, he wasn't created. That's right. Human beings, angelic beings, fall under the fact that they were created. Do you see that? They were created. That's why the Jehovah Witnesses are wrong. That's why Islam is wrong. That's why the Mormons are wrong. And that's why many others are wrong. And it's picked those three. Mormons believe that he's an angel. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he's an angel. And Islam believes that he's a man, just a straight man. He's just a good prophet. A great one, but just a man. So what they've done is that they have separated him. They separated him from, you see that? They separated him from this, from being God, and stuck him down into the created category. That's blasphemous. And you're not talking about, no, you're no longer talking about Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible. You're talking about a made up Jesus. I've always taught Word of Life. People will use the word God all day long. All of them use God. Even the Muslims will say Allah is God. We'll just hear God, hear the word God. And we think, okay, that's cool. They must be all right. Nope. Time for an interview. Remember that Pookie talking about interviews? Time to think about it. What do they believe about Jesus? And that's going to expose what's really going on. Because Jehovah's Witnesses will say Jehovah. We say Jehovah. But when it comes to Jesus, he's just an angel. I mean, he's created. He's not everlasting. So it's crucial to understand that when you talk about God, you're talking about that he's God in essence. He's God in character. He's God in being. He's God in nature. He's not angelic in character. He's not human in being. He's God. Jesus is God. And that's where the confusion comes. Even though Jesus is God, because we're all thinking about the Father only. But sometimes when God is mentioned, as here, we're talking about that he's God in essence, nature, and character. Does that make sense? Yeah. Let me show you Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I know we kind of morphed into talking about Jesus, but I really want to also talk about all three beings, all three, that they are not down in here into the created category. Verse 1, Hebrews 1. Oh, yeah, no. Yep, I got you. Chapter 1, verse 1. Take your time. And what he did is what I want you to do. If I'm going a little too fast, slow me down, because I know you want to read it. I want you to eyeball it. Hebrews chapter 1. Did I say 11 or 1? Yes. Chapter 1? Okay. Chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So the world was created by God the Father through God the Son. And I love this. You can see this graphic here. It was created by God the Father through God the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll find all of that in Genesis 1. Okay, so through whom he made the create the world. Verse 3. He, who is the he? Huh? The Son. Yes, the Son, Jesus. Thank you. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Are you seeing that word? Nature, character, essence. They're saying Jesus is exactly what God the Father is. Mm-hmm. Now, we kind of morphed into talking about Jesus, but I want to let you know that Jesus is not just somebody's figment of someone's imagination. Jesus is not someone that you can just choose to pull him down into the created category and call him an angel or a human. He's God in essence, in character, in nature, the essence, the exact imprint of God, of the nature, and it holds the universe by the word of his power. Okay, so having said this, again, the title of our sermon is The Will of God. And we're talking about the sovereignty of God. Okay? The sovereignty of God. And when we talk about the sovereignty of God, who are we talking about? The sovereignty of God, the Father. Now, remember that all three beings, that's why it's three beings, three personalities. Yeah. Right? There are three persons. Like, there are approaching 8 billion people on the planet, but we're all one in character, essence, nature, being. 8 billion personalities, but one nature. Do you understand that? Exactly. So here you have three personalities, all one in nature. Now this nature, essence, being, and character is eternal. Meaning they always existed. That's why only three persons can fit into this category and no one else. Do you see that? And do you see why when you pull Jesus out of this category and stick him into the created, you created an idol. You created a false god. Because you must understand that when you're talking about God, you're talking about eternal beings, self-sufficient. Dependent on no one. They always existed. That's why we talk about in eternity past. Now we come back to the full circle. In eternity past, there were only three beings or three personalities that existed at that time only. Because everyone else after that is created. There were no angels. There were no humans. There wasn't light or darkness. We tend to think darkness is nothing. No, darkness is the absence of light. So light is something. Yeah. So there wasn't even darkness. There was no time. And don't worry about trying to picture that. I remember when I was young, I used to try to picture that in my mind. Just go straight to the medicine cabinet and get the biggest, strongest headache medicine you need, because you're going to have one. Because you can't picture nothing. In eternity past, there was nothing. There was no one but these three. And in that huddle, if I call it the divine huddle, is where everything comes forth. He saw everything before it ever got started. We read ad nauseum in his church. Isaiah 46 and 10 declared, verse 9, I am God and there is no other. I am God the Father. There's none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. Let's break that down. Declaring, announcing, proclaiming, speaking out loud. The end. End means the outcome, the result, how everything turns out before it ever got started. That's God. So, if you're looking at eternity past here, and if and that use the beginning of this podium as Genesis, when time begins, and the end of the podium, Revelation, and then eternity future. So in eternity past, when nothing was in effect, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they saw the whole human history unfold from Genesis to Revelation before it ever got started. They saw everything. And this is where, amen, this is where Christians, or so-called Christians, throughout history felt that God needed some help in looking righteous and fair. So we got to come up with alternative doctrines to kind of make him not look so bad. Because if I just take this as a naked, unvarnished truth that God saw all this stuff happen before it ever got started, and then out of that huddle they said, yep, we're going to do that. 1, 2, 3, break. And they went ahead with the plan. Like, hold on, that don't, God is crazy. That don't make any sense. Why would he even allow Charles Mills Manson to be born? Knowing that he would eventually. And then why would he allow the prison that he was in 66? And he begged them not to let him back out into society because he had been in prison over half his life. And so he was what they call the word institutionalized, where he functioned better under structure and being out in society and free. He told them, don't let me out. And he let him out. And in 1967, he began forming a quote-unquote family, moved to Spahn Ranch in Death Valley, and he took in runaway teens who's kind of against establishment and things like that, and God saw all this happen. And then in 69, they unleashed those horrible murders in the LaBianca and the Tate family, the butchery, and so forth and so on. Why would you even let him? Or how about the little other 5'2" dude, Adolf Hitler, who was responsible for millions? Why not just don't allow King even to, why didn't King listen to his father? Daddy King told his son, don't go to Memphis. Just don't go back. Because King was there the first time, it ended in riots, it was bad. He went back to try to rectify the situation for the garbage men. Daddy King told him to go, or Daddy Kennedy told his son, don't go to Dallas. Why not listen? God is seeing all of this. He sees my father fast too long and die at the age of 46, and sees a 9-year-old boy walk in with his family on his father. He sees everything. Let's take it back to the very beginning. How about he sees that this created angel, Lucifer, which is the light, then, as the Old Testament lets us know, he was perfect in the day that he was created until iniquity was found in him. Nephew, where is that? Ezekiel, Jeremiah, getting confused with that. Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel. Iniquity was found in him. When did God see that iniquity was going to be found in him? In eternity past. Pastors don't like to talk about this because it makes God look bad.
No, they don't.
But we got to talk about it. Because if you're going to really know who God is, you got to understand everything. And realize this, when you see God in a bad light, you're not understanding God. But the first thing you got to do is understand, you know what, I don't understand God. So that you realize, hey, I don't understand God. And I need to find out how to understand Him. And that's going to be done through His Word. First of all, I want to show you something. God uses evil. He didn't create evil. He didn't make them do evil. God did not make Eve eat of the fruit or her husband. He told them what He wanted them to do. He gave them specific instruction. That's what He wanted to happen. They chose not to obey and to bring sin into the world. And so God uses sin. Now you say, well, couldn't God have done it? God can do anything you want to. But you know what? I trust God.
Bottom line.
Yes, and that is the bottom line. That's why Hebrews, turn to Hebrews. I'd like to turn to 100 million things at one time. I got a lot of things going through my mind. Hebrews chapter 11. Pray for me, nephew. A lot of things going through my mind. Hebrews, because I'm not of the preachers who are going to hide and try to make God look. No, we're going to put it out there unvarnished. Or concerning meat, we're just going to throw. We're not going to barbecue it. Put no seasoning on it. Just throw it out there just straight raw.
The truth.
Even the fur going to still be on it. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 3. By faith, we understand the universe was created. Verse 3. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken. Faith, faith, faith. Then verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Who is Him? God the Father. It's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must absolutely must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him diligently. That's a crucial verse. And so what a lot of pastors have done is that they've gotten afraid to talk about what I'm talking about because it makes God look bad. Yes, sir. God is not the author of evil, but He chose to use evil for good. That's what He chose. And we got to bow down and say, Lord, You chose to do this. Then we bow down to You, and I trust You because You're wiser, way wiser than me. Because after all, I'm a created being. I'm a created human. I'm not even a created angelic being. They got more knowledge than me. I'm a created human being. On the whole scheme of things, we're at the bottom of the totem pole. How am I going to come out of my bag and go up in here and judge you for what you're doing? Like, how dare you have a plan? Yeah, I love that. I mean, when you hear it, it's ridiculous. How are we going to just go up and just say, hey, what's wrong with you? What you doing? We're pulling Him down. Remember we talked about that? We go up to heaven, grab God by the collar, and snatch Him down. This is in our mind. Of course, we're not doing that for real. We reach our little puny hand up, snatch the Father down, and we slam Him into the seat in the court, and then we ascend the bench. We take the gavel and say, because I don't get what you're doing, and what you're doing ain't right, bam, bam, I find you guilty of being unjust and iniquitous. That's just what we do. Then we set the gavel down and walk out as if our Lord judgment is the absolute truth. That's what's ridiculous. We deem God unrighteous. Why? Because we don't understand it. I don't get it. And I don't like it. I don't even take into account that I'm not even a created angel that I have a little bit more understanding. I'm a created human being, finite, mortal, weakest of all the creatures. We got some nerve. Instead of saying, well, I just don't get it. He's all wise. There are some things that are hidden and secret to the Lord that will never be revealed. At least not on this side, Deuteronomy. I think that Deuteronomy that says that the secret thing belongs to the Lord. Yeah. If you're born again, the challenge is, are you going to say, if you're born again, meaning you're truly saved, meaning your spirit has really been raised from the dead and you truly are a child of God, inside of you has been placed this faith to trust him.
No doubt.
Now you got to use it.
Sure.
Now you got to use it. Amen, Ms. Cheryl? We can't trust on old logic and rationale. Because in this state, it's not going to make any sense. But I trust you because I have faith in you. You are the only wise God. Is he wise or is he not wise? So just because we don't understand him, then I deem you, bam, bam, to be unwise and me wiser than you? Come on, let's think this thing through. That's why you have people like Arminius. You have people, even before Arminius was Pelagian. Pelagian was a monk who was a contemporary of doing it again, Joe. It'll come to me in a minute. But they were content. Who was the other one with the A? A Pelagian. Because there's two ways to pronounce his name. Lord, I don't know why I struggle with that name every single time. But anyway, they were way back. You know, so if you were to draw a line on, you know, you would have Pelagian and Arminius on one line. And you'll have, you give it an A here, and like Calvin or something on this line. I mean, so they were the top line was to make God look a little bit more palatable and not look so bad. So they came up with theories and theologies that weren't biblical, but it made God look better, made him look more just. And what they came up with was, well, basically, God gives everybody a chance to be saved. He has to. Because if he doesn't, that makes him look unjust. And if he doesn't, that's not fair. Then the bottom line, folks, whoever forgot his name here, began with an A, and then John Calvin, and all, that's why they call him Calvinist versus Arminian. Calvin, we believe that what the Word of God says, that God sovereignly chooses a group. In eternity past, when there was only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, when there was only those three, God chose a group. That's it, a group. He didn't choose everybody. In eternity past, he looked out on the corridors of time from Genesis to Revelation and just saw a lot of dead, spiritually dead people. Not a lot. He saw everybody who had ever been born and were dead. Because everybody who's ever born, human, naturally speaking, you're born alive. But spiritually, you're born dead. Meaning you're born separated from God. You're born inactive, unable to obey, uninterested to the things of God. That's what dead means in that prayer. You're separated from God. So every human birth is double. It's a live birth, physically, naturally, biologically speaking, and it's a still birth, spiritually speaking. That's why Jesus told John the Baptist, you must be born again. Because the first birth, when you were born alive physically, but dead spiritually. The second birth is going to be, you're already born physically. Now you got to be born spiritually. So life is given to your spirit. And until God does that, you are dead spiritually. Having said that, go back to the beginning. In eternity, where only the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed, when he sees the whole of landscape from Genesis to Revelation, he sees nothing but dead people spiritually. Dead people. Just billions and billions of dead people. At this point, why is everyone dead?
Sin.
Because of sin. So is it God's fault that everyone is dead?
No.
All right. And if God sees all the dead people spirits because of their sin, and if he chose to do this, and let everybody go to hell, is he not just in doing that?
Yeah.
Because they're getting what they deserve. We are getting what we deserve. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Wages, your payment, your Friday paycheck is death. Why are we still living?
Grace.
Something called grace and mercy. We've sinned a lot, and we're still alive. Physically. So if God decides I ain't saving nobody and walked away and everybody went to hell, he would be just in doing that. And that's what the Pelagians and the Arminians don't understand. That's what they don't understand. He doesn't owe you salvation. He doesn't. Oh, it's a gift. Isn't that what it says? Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, the King James Version. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone would boast. Salvation is a gift. It's not owed. If you owe it, it's a wage. It's no longer a gift. So when God sees that everybody is dead spiritually because of sin, he doesn't owe them salvation. That's what Arminians don't understand. He doesn't owe them that.
Amen.
He chose to gift us with life, eternal life.
Thank you.
So what he did in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in this huddle, as they're seeing dead billions of spiritually dead people, he chose to save some. Both hands went up. Like the police was put a gun in his back. That's what I'm talking about, Lance Procrop. That's why we don't appreciate what God has done. We don't, because we think he owe it to us. We mad at him. We don't know who he is. He ought to save everybody. If it was me, I'd have... You know, thank God we ain't you. Because
yes.
If you were God, we'd be in trouble.
Hey.
We got to deal with your prejudices. Because if you a black God, then the white folk going to be in trouble. You know, if you're an Arab God, then the Jews in trouble. If you're a Catholic God, an Irish Catholic, then all the Protestants going to be in trouble. Because we got everybody beefing with everybody. And if you're a Rwandan God, then the Hutus or the Tutsis going to be in trouble. Somebody going to be in trouble. So thank God you ain't God. Because you at best are on the lowest of the created being as human. We have an impartial, pure, holy, loving, all-wise, all-sufficient, all-knowing, all-powerful God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he chose in his infinite mercy to take a group out of the billions. He said, this is going to be my people. And he turns to this group to his son and said, I'm going to gift you. It's going to be my gift to you. A group of redeemed people. It's going to be my gift to you. Because I love you so much that I want to give you a gift. See, we just thought that on our own. That comes from God. When we just love somebody, just appreciate what they've done, we just want to bless them, just want to give them something. That comes from God. That's where that comes from. I just want to gift you, son. And in the end, the son loved the father. So he said, you know what? I'll go down and die for him. I'm going to shed the blood, go down as a human, leave this wonderful, perfect environment and existence of nothing but pure holiness and go down to the ghetto. Because the earth, the man, who Donny Hathaway and War, the music group War, both of them had it right. The world is a ghetto compared to heaven, don't you know? He comes to the ghetto. Even the most beautiful places down here is the ghetto compared to heaven. He comes to the ghetto, the stench of sin. Unreal. You got prostitution, homosexuality, you got abortion, you got prejudice. Wait a minute, are you talking about right now? I'm talking about back then, because there's nothing new under the sun. Sally, you talking about back right now. Same thing. The same thing. Hatred and jealousy and ethnicism, formerly known as racism. All those going on. And he comes in and sits in amongst that blasphemous, just disregarding the things of God. And here is God, the God Son, wrapped in human flesh. Oh, that's a whole nother thing there, but we just let that one roll for now. But he was wrapped in human flesh. He was 100% man. His spirit was still 100% God, because you can't unchange God. You can't change who God is. He is still 100% man. And so, well, I won't tell you about a hot second. So if you think about, this is his spirit. This is Jesus' spirit, God, God in nature. And the word of God in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 14. And his spirit was wrapped in flesh. This part is his humanity. That's the part that was named Jesus. Because in Matthew 1, it says his name will be called Jesus. This little baby that you're going to have, you're going to call his name Jesus, because it means Savior. Because he will save his people. Notice the word, his people. So everybody's not his people. He will save his people. Who are the his people? The people that God the Father said, I'm going to give you as a gift. He's going to come down and save his people from their sins. I hope that what we're getting from this is finding out a little bit more about who God really is and how much we really just don't know him. And how much we need to understand him. How much we can know more about God through his word. But you got to get into that word, and you got to be taught the word. And pastors got to quit being scared of teaching who God really is. And then let the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit got a lot of food to work with when you leave this place. He got something to work with, because I gave you harsh truths. But they're truths. Period. No, God is not. I mean, they got something called open theology. God in process is what it is. That God is figuring it out as the world goes along. He's learning. That's scary. That means God is like me. Why am I going to pray to him and he don't know either? That's blasphemous. But all of this because of the presence of evil. That has messed up a lot of pastors and ministries and Christians from antiquity. It has messed up a lot of folks, the presence of evil. No, God allowed it. He flat out did. Didn't cause it. Didn't make them do it. He's not the author of it. Doesn't tempt folk with it. He can't be tempted with evil. And he hates evil. Yeah. Habakkuk chapter 4, I think it is, that his eyes are too pure to look at evil with an approving delightful and take delight in evil. He's too pure for that. He hates evil. But he allowed it, because he's using it. And we've seen ways, we talked about this the last month, how he uses evil. This is rerun. What's the most evil, heinous act ever committed by the hands of men? The murder of Jesus. The torture, murder of Jesus. Those folks who all participated in that murder are going to receive the full wrath of God. You are completely responsible. But God used their evil deeds and brought about saving his people from their sin. So that's one example of how God uses evil for his good. That's one example. Don't think that God has stopped using evil for his good. No, he's continuing. He's just not letting us know how he used the plane into the towers, or Manson coming along, or the millions who died in the Jews, or the millions who died even just trying to get to America from Africa. Just from inland Africa to the western coast of Africa, it is said 20 million Africans died just coming from middle Africa to the coast to go to America. Because that trip took at least 6 months or more, depending on where they were coming from. We read about Olauda Equiano, one slave that made it through, lived through slavery, made it out alive, born again, reformed as we understand, and giving God glory. And he gives an account of that. When the day his sister was kidnapped, he and his sister was kidnapped in the Central Africa and then brought to the coast. Took 6 months. He was sold several times to several African masters before he even got to the western coast of Africa. 20 million. He has used evil. We saw with Joseph's brothers how they meant it for evil, God meant it for good. He's given us insight into Job, how the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans robbed and plundered and murdered Joseph's, all his family, and took all his stuff. And how God at the same time was working that because he was proving that Job's faith was real. He's not through using evil. He's still the George Floyd murder. Or whether it be all the white people who've been killed by police that don't nobody know about, Tony Temple. Tony Temple was George Floyd 4 years ago, now 5 years ago. Nobody knows about that murder, hardly. And on video. And 13 minutes that officer had his knee in his neck. The white people are being killed just like black people. The unevenness in the broadcast of murders that are going on from police. God is using all of those injustices. What's happening in Afghanistan at airports, horrible. What's happening there, horrible, terrible. God is using all evil. He's using it all. We gotta realize this is who we are. We're just human, trying to understand an eternal, infinite, everlasting God. My thing is, you're going to fail every time. Just let the Spirit of God lead you. Do what you know to do. Help when he tells you to help. Don't go to Afghanistan. I'm going to Afghanistan. I got to help people. And you get shot on the way, they never make it there because you wasn't supposed to be there. How about helping your neighbor? How about just loving your husband better? Oh, that's boring. I ain't trying to do that. He a bum anyway. We like doing the super duper rooper stuff. And not the simple thing of just spending more time with your child. Wow. Yes. God's not crazy. He's not confused. He's not impotent. Yes. We can still sing with absolute veracity. Lord, you reign. Yes, thank you. Reign forevermore. Yes, thank you. God got it under control. That's what this is, a mind renewal. Father God, I ask the preacher, stand on this doctrine right here and don't back up off. and teach your people and entrust the Holy Spirit to go in with that truth into the hearts of his people when they're going home and meditating this thing and turn the light on in their hearts. Turn it on, turn it on, turn it on. Let's close with the Gospel of John. And I ain't gonna lie to you. We went to seminary school today. It was rough. I understand that. But I tell you what, you have the opportunity to really meditate on some things and really get to know, because this whole thing is we want to know him more. If you're really born again, your desire ought to be, I want to know him more. I want to really know him, not a figment of our imagination, not some sort of cartoonish, made up God, but the real God. Do you know that eternal life has a definition? Jesus gave it right here. I'm going to tell you what eternal life is. Look at verse 2. You already knew. I'm sorry. Okay, I can't go by Jewy because he's a master scholar. But yeah, chapter 7. I thought you'd make the joke that y'all ought to be in the Holy Ghost. No, just know what chapter I am in. Chapter 17. Where you go, nephew? Look at verse 1. 17:1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to the heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son that your son may glorify you. And that's what it was always this. It was always this. Glorify your son that some may also glorify you. When God presents Jesus with the gift of the redeemed humanity, Jesus is going to give it all back to God. In 1 Corinthians 15, I believe. They just love each other. It's a love. It really is a love thing. Verse 2, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. You see that? I'm not making it up. To all you have given him. Told you, he said, I'm going to get a group out of this mass of dead people and I'm going to give you this. And he says in verse 2, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life, not to everybody, no, just to all whom you've given him. Verse 3, here it is. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life, for us to know God. Brother, sister, I want to walk in that. Amen. I want to know him. Amen, niece? I want to know him. Not who you tell me God is, but who he really is in the Bible. Amen. God, I need any help to be made to look just. We went over those verses. We'll go over them again, too. John, 1 John 1:5. In him is light, and there is no darkness, if you didn't get that part, comma, at all. There's no darkness at all. He doesn't have any evil inside of him. No evil. Look at this is our 10th closing. Look at Jude verse 24. There's only one chapter, so Jude verse 24. This was Dad's favorite way to end prayer, and that I do the same. You were little, so you might not remember him. He used to pray this almost all the time. Jude, verse 24. Let me know when you get it. Jude is right in front of Revelation. Yep, right in front of Revelation. Yep, it's only one chapter. Yep, take your time. You guys have Jude?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you got it? Okay. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Look at this. To the only wise God. And I know the King James says only wise God. The ESV just says the only God. But I like the wise in there. To the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen. There is no other wisdom. God is the source of all divine godly wisdom. He came up with wisdom. He's not confused. It's not, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, I let things get out of hand. Or I really don't know what's going on and I'm learning as I go. That's the dumbest theology. Whoever would even believe that just to satisfy the presence of evil as an explanation is, that's really ridiculous. That's scary to believe that, than to believe that God knew everything was going to happen and has a plan for all evil. That means to say, well, he doesn't know what's happening either. He's trying to figure it out like everyone else. I don't see why that's not extremely disturbingly scary. Father God, you spoke some beautiful truths, hard, but beautiful, because all your truth is beautiful, and it is good. And it is perfect. That's what we've heard today. Holy Spirit, let these truths resonate in the hearts of all of your children. Ad nauseum, ad infinitum. Don't let it stop. Keep them awake even in their sleep until we get the full understanding of what was spoken today, or at least more, a greater understanding. And I will end it as I do with my Father. Now unto you, Father God, who is able to keep us from falling. Thank you, Lord. Just right there. And then once as you do that, you can present us faultless before your presence with exceeding joy. You are the only wise God, our Savior, because you're the only one who saves. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power forevermore, forever and ever and evermore, forever now and now in time and forevermore throughout the eternities of eternities. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.